Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see all of you, the Council of Elders, guests. It's a very special welcome to you. Last night, I got home from the ministerial conference in Canada, also the council meetings, and just wanted to share just for a few minutes how much I appreciated being there. I really needed to be there for my own sake, just to see the atmosphere of unity, of brotherhood, of people working together. I was there for the council meetings where we had reports through the day that I found to be very, very interesting in media about the ministry and the finances. But the media report was, you know, very exuberantly presented by Dennis Horlick and David Palmer, and really was just wonderful. And all the ministry there passed their greetings on to the Council of Elders, to Denny Luker, Dave Palmer, with a very, very special greeting. About half a dozen times he said to say hello to you, so I want to make sure that I do. The theme was raising the bar, and yesterday Bob Behrendt gave an outstanding presentation on loyalty, and I had a number of presentation there, but the atmosphere was just absolutely marvelous. It was very energizing, and I just feel very, very benefited as a result. Also had one more thing, which I'll just cover very briefly. On the internet, a woman found me. It's a bad start here. About 10 years ago, she had found my roots as having been born in the United Nations relief camp. And she was born in the same camp back in 1947. She was of Polish-Ukrainian descent, and I was of Ukrainian-Russian descent. Well, we've been writing back and forth, you know, over the years, and just had just a lot of very commonality. She's written a couple of books about her experiences, and her last book has been about her fight with acute leukemia. Well, my wife, Bev, and I, and her husband and her had dinner Thursday night. It was just very, very interesting to have these common roots come from the same refugee camp, United Nations refugee camp, and to have those memories. My parents and I emigrated to the United States in 49, and she emigrated to Thunder Bay, Canada, and onto Toronto. And we just shared a lot of experiences. Like, I've known her all my life, and this is the first time that we had met. Regarding ministerial services had a name change from ministerial services to ministerial and member services. This was actually a suggestion that was brought forth that I remember most, the most notable name on it was Bill Eddington, who sent suggestion about changing the name from ministerial services to ministerial member services. At the start of the United Church of God, we wanted to change a number of things from what we were called before. Headquarters became home office. We wanted to have a softer sound. And also, church administration was changed to ministerial services. But in looking at the work of what ministerial services does, it goes way beyond just doing activities for the ministry and supporting the ministry. The ministerial services plans the Feast of Tabernacles and has oversight directly over that area. It has oversight over camps, over a number of areas that really do include members and member activities. And so as a result, we took the council's suggestion and renamed ourselves Ministerial and Member Services. In a sense, church administration covered that because the word church administration did not really have the word minister in it. It was all of the things the church does. So we could have, I guess, could have gone to church services, but then that would have been, you know, limiting even more. So anyway, we have made that change. A number of statistics for the year 2010 as far as baptisms are concerned. We're on track with the general plateau that we've had for numbers of baptisms over the past 10 years or more. And so far this year, we have 166. And it's ranged between 150 and I think we've gone over 200 a number of times. We've ordained four ministers in this past year and hired one full-time into the ministry this year. We have about 210 congregations, because some are Bible study groups that meet once a month, and some are very small. Some churches are very, very tiny. When I read the monthly reports and see some of the churches in the panhandle of Texas, I believe, can't remember, just
Amarillo,
six people for the average for the month. Our average attendance is about 11,500 people. We've had five elders die since the Feast of Tabernacles. One was just before Grover Petty, Pat Regord, Stan Botha, Joel Clark, and most recently Charles Wetson. So this is just since the Feast of Tabernacles. We've had three resign from the ministry, who you know, but I will not say their names for the public record, which you know. We've had one termination, and we've had one minister who's been relieved of duties pending further discussion and council action. As far as ministerial health is concerned, we're very happy to see Harold Rhodes return back to church services. He will try to be able and speak once every 2 weeks or so, and will have help, but he has been hospitalized previously February 1st, and it's wonderful to see him back on his feet. Literally last June when I went to visit him, I was very grievously concerned about him being able to return at all, but he's been able to return to work. We had two other ministers with serious problems, and another one who's called and said that he has stage 3 prostate cancer. So we will be expecting and possibly having more news of this sort. One of the biggest items of news as far as organization as well has been the change in the regional pastor structure. And we did that to reflect a more realistic structure of our ministry. I have been very, very involved in the regional pastor formation back in the Worldwide Church of God. And for more than a decade, before 1993, when we restarted a mid-structure, we had no mid-structure. There was nothing for a long period of time. And then we overlaid on top of the existing youth districts, which were YOU regions, we overlaid over the exact territory 14 regional pastors. And I remember very well being involved in the formation of that with Joe Koch Jr. Actually, Mr. Koch Sr. was very, very suspicious of any kind of mid-structure, and I really resisted it for a long time. But at that time, there was a desire to educate the ministry on the new doctrines, and so this new structure was created particularly for that. But also, the structure was created to be a help and support to ministers. At the time that we formed the regional pastor structures, we had nearly 300 ministers who were full-time, 300 full-time ministers, and we had 700 ministers. It got to the point, I remember very well, when we crossed the 1,000 minister line, 700 local church elders. So we had 1,000 ministers that these 14 people oversaw, which was an average of about 22 to 23 full-time men, and more than 30 to 35 local church elders, and they had significant loads. When the United Church of God started, we decided that we would carry over this structure to the church that we were involved in starting organizationally. And in addition to that, a ministerial services team of two or three, and then finally it was three part of a team at the home office, who were actually out in the field, was created under Richard Pennelly, and the regional pastor structure, and the Council of Elders, which has been very, very much involved in management, especially in the early days of the United Church of God. And we knew from the get-go that this was top-heavy, that we had a lot of management, we had a lot of chiefs for the number of Indians that we had in the church. But We thought back in 1995 that the church would grow into this structure. Our anticipation and our hopes were that by this time the church would be 40, 50,000 people. Well, unfortunately, we have actually less full-time ministers than we did at the start of United. I remember one day, this fateful day in Indianapolis, when 93 ministers' applications were submitted for employment, and I remember one day sitting there with David Hume and Steve Andrews, and we hired them all. I just remember, just right off with just one stroke of a pen, hiring 93 ministers. Now we have about 87 ministers or so. I'm not sure about the exact number, but it's about that number. So, in looking with a change of administration, and some of the reasons for it, is that all the presidential candidates, in their speech to speak about management and reorganization, what they would do if they were to take on their role, really had questions about the need for a regional pastor layer. It just seemed like it was redundant, it was not needed, we hadn't grown enough for it, and so they were dubious about continuing that. Also, what we have found, and I think that this will probably be true for the future, is that when a new administration comes in, it really does want to have people on its team. And I know that as we operate as a team right now at the home office, we're all of one mind, we're all of one spirit, you know, we work together in a very, very fluid way. And you want people to work with that you choose, I mean, that you actually want on your team. It's not that you don't want the other person, but with some of the people we have not had a relationship with, we've not worked with them in a cohesive way, and it's difficult to just take on and have somebody ask you to use a team that you really are not comfortable with or really can't work as well as you should. And so it was felt best to remove this layer and to reorganize. For our size, it seemed to be sensible for us to reorganize the way we did. So at first, we were going to call the new structure, the new ministerial team, which we chose Gary Antion and Roy Holiday to be a part of, and not have the regional pastors. But Dave Evans brought to my attention that, you know, we have so many policies and so many documents that include regional pastors as to various functions that they have in approving ordinations and selecting speakers for the Feast of Tabernacles. There would have to be quite a rewrite of our policies. There would have to be a very big search and replace function that would take place. So what we did was to call the new ministerial team the regional pastors. And so at this current time, it's Roy Holiday, Gary Antion, and myself. And actually, that may be expanded. I would like to see it expanded to one more where I would not be a regional pastor, but we have those three gentlemen. And that has worked out very, very well. We talk on the telephone. We talk privately with the country, with the pastors as they are. I know in my mind, just yesterday, I was going through without even a map. I mean, I know where everybody is. I mean, it's not a number that is like the stars of the sea. I mean, you'd see where the people are, you know what they do, and we've had, you know, personal knowledge of these people, and I find I'm able to keep up with telephone calls, with discussions with them, even in the crisis situation where I need to call Gary Antion or Roy Holiday or perhaps other senior men in the field to do something, we're able to keep up with this workload. So it's not really necessary for us to have a redundant layer in the field. So if we come to the point of where we have 50,000, 100,000 members, may God bless us with that kind of growth, where we have the kind of ministry that Paul did, and rolling into a city and ordaining elders and moving on, you know, maybe we may need to have another mid-structure. But at this point, it's not one that's mandated in our documents, and it was an administrative decision to do that. So I wanted to explain that as to how we are. Roy Holiday handles the East, the Northeast, Southeast, Florida, South Central. Gary Antin basically has the West, and I have the center part of the country. However, we also overlap into each other's areas. It isn't that this is his region, he can't talk to others, and we want ministers to feel like they can be comfortable in talking to various ones. We also have assigned areas of responsibility to the regional directors. One notable one is Gary Antin will oversee all areas of education, although Richard Pennelly and Dave Register still will do the functions that they had, but we wanted to put it under one person instead of piecemealing it out with different men. What's coming up? We have the Winter Family Weekend, Northwest Weekend. These are activities about as big as the Feast of Tabernacles. You know, in fact, our biggest gathering, perhaps, overall, is the Winter Family Weekend in Louisville. Last year was a tremendous success. This year, our subject is the armor of God, and we're really looking forward to it. ABC will have its sampler functions there, and we look forward to that. Also, the Northwest Weekend, not as large, but it pushes over 850 people, and we will looking forward to that. What's our biggest challenge right now? Well, it's the current crisis in the church, this is probably something that we'll be talking about and we'll be trying to manage as a council and administration. So I'll just leave it at that. Are there any questions about ministerial services? Yes, Bob?
Just out of curiosity, you mentioned in the past, worldwide, there were 300 salaried, 700 local elders, roughly, no one
knows right,
like
right.
that. And today we could say roughly 90 and 300. I know some people have died, and it's been a long time ago and so on, but to me, it seems like the percentage of former salaried members, ministers in the United States, who stayed faithful to the truth is pretty large compared to the numbers of members. And we were thinking in terms of 10%, so there's more than 25% of the salaried elders and almost 40% of the non-salaried. And I know the figures are fudgy a little bit because of the time distance there.
Oh, I know. There were many, many ministers. In fact, there were some that we did not hire for different reasons.
Yeah.
And some that changed careers that were faithful.
Yeah.
The former pastor of Lafayette, Mike Rovac, who I work with, he just didn't want to be a full-time minister, but he's faithful, and he's my helper, and he functions as a local elder. And I remember that I remember my fax machine working at everybody sending in their W-2 forms. I mean, it was all day long, you know, that they were being sent. I thought, how in the world are we going to hire all these ministers? Do we have people out there who will support this functionality? And I remember Gerald Selig, and I said, are we going to make first payroll? You know, are we going to make the first payroll, which was over $200,000? You know, and I remember signing a check for $200,000. Never signed a check that big. And, you know, God provided what we had, but we were looking to having, you know, the membership come and come and come. And frankly, has not. And we've had, you know, several hiccups, you know, with the various crises that occurred. And that's kept our membership basically at where it's always been.
Have you ever, though, personally, because you're in charge of ministerial services in worldwide and now, have you ever personally sort of a rough idea of the percentage of ministers who have remained faithful over the years?
I would have to think about that. You know, I don't think too well right here, you know, without a map. But, you know, we've had, you know, quite a few ministers, you know, percentage-wise, yes, that have been faithful.
Yeah.
They were vocal, they were faithful, they demonstrated their faith and they wanted to be here. Yes.
In Canada, I don't think 10% of the ministers remain faithful.
I know. That's one thing we talked about at the conference up there is to how few, and especially younger ministers. You know, it's just more of the senior ministers.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Just a point of order. Will the new ministerial services name be initials be MSS, or will you include the N and it'll be MASS?
You know, sometimes our discussion was, yeah, it was a great idea, but it's created all kinds of issues with the mnemonics and so forth.
Did you want to call it MASS?
No, I want to call it MASS. And then also, somebody said that the MMS was something that's an acronym for something else. Yeah, so basically I still say MS unless I get the public format and I call it MMS. But I do know that we received that suggestion and we wanted to be responsive to what the council was suggesting to us. And I know we were just sitting in a staff meeting and said, well, that sounds good, you know. But sometimes something that sounds good is a little bit of a problem to implement. And sometimes I forget, is it ministerial member services or ministerial services? But it's ministerial member services. Okay, I don't want to prolong this any further, but I gave you a general report about what's happening. Keep praying for our ministry that's aging. And when I receive telephone calls from ministers I haven't heard from in a while, I fear the worst, you know, as far as health is concerned. I'm very, very concerned about our minister's health. Okay, that's all I have.